Ask the Podcast Coach for July 11th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, this one goes to 11. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. You can join us every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I heard that a lot this week. What time zone are you in? Eastern Standard Time, which means for most of you, it's really early. Even if you're on the East Coast, it's kind of early. For Jim, it's like, I don't know, it's 4 a.m, something like that.
Just waking up.
And, you know, he's not just for breakfast anymore. Recommended by, I've already said the dentist one. Let's see, what else can we say? Fortified with vitamins.
All your essential vitamins and minerals.
Yeah, there you go. The one, the only. Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. How's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Good to be back. And good to be on Ask the Podcast Coach again.
Yes. And the...
Which Rob Greenlee turned into Ask a Podcast Coach.
There you go. Well, that way. Pick one. But
if you've been listening to Spreaker Live, which actually I recommend. Rob's doing a great job out there. Binge listened to that this week. We were driving back from 4th of July stuff, and he's 5 or 6 episodes in. You were on 5, I think.
Yeah, I was going to be on, and then that was the week my tooth went south.
Mm. Yeah, and, so 5, I think he's on 6.
Yeah,
he's been changing formats and stuff. It's an interesting, if you listen 1 through 6, they each have a little bit of a different format. It's kind of an experiment. I think he's trying to figure out where his voice is. This goes back to what we talk about all the time. It really takes about 10 for you to find your voice, right? Find what you want to do.
His interview would, Jared Easley always brings his A game anyway, but I was clamoring the crap out of that episode. By the way, clamor is now fixed. Thank you, Apple, for when they came out with the new iOS with the Apple Radio, whatever it is, Apple Music, that broke clamor. That has now been fixed. And now if you go to clamor.com and sign in, you can actually make clamors from there, and my Slack is making noise. How do I turn that off?
Oh, yeah. I just sent you a note on Slack. We've been toying with the idea of using Slack as the back end show notes for Ask the Podcast Coach. So Dave and I have a private channel that we've created between the two of us, and except Dave's notifications are still turned on.
Yes. So I'm typing you a chat in the Google chat to go, let's use it. Mike Dell, more noise. Great. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I'll be all right. Yeah. I think we're going to use. Well, see if I. Where are the notifications? There's got
to be. You can close. Yeah. You can. If you go up into, I think it's in preferences. So go up to the group and let's see. Maybe not.
Maybe not. I'm like, all right. It's one of those things.
Yeah. There's a noise. I remember notifications being somewhere. Still fairly. Yeah. It's still fairly new to me as far as. All the features that are available in it as well. It's super powerful. We've begun using Slack. I have two groups at work, a podcasters group out there somewhere. I started one for my network. It's crazy. I'm using it everywhere. So it's one of those kind of things. Once you get in, you're kind of like, I want all my communication here, right? It's so easy to have it all in one place, and it works great on your phone. And so if I could only find a way, I was really hoping there would be some kind of way to create a public chat room with this where I could use Slack and like create a public space, but they don't, not yet. It's not available.
Yeah. And we probably should say, hey, if you want to get on the phone with us, that number is 347-850-8007, 347-850-8007. And I have muted my noises. If you go under the group and go under preferences, there is a spot there.
Oh, it is there.
And it was too obvious. It said mute all sounds. And I was looking for something, I guess, a little more.
Oh, I see it on the bottom there. Sounds, mute all sounds.
But
use your own sound if you'd like.
Yeah. And we have a special guest in the studio today, Nat. There he goes. And he's gone. Dead. Yeah. Because I'm like going, buddy.
Mr. Miyagi.
That's right. When you can snatch the pebble from my hand. But Jared Easley made this is like a meme that I'm starting to see. And I think it's something where I know Daniel has an episode coming up with Chris Brogan about this in the future over at theaudacitypodcast.com. But Jared said he thought growing your audience was done by getting a super big guest, like going out and getting that A-list guest. And then I listened to Harry over at Podcast Junkies, and he interviewed Jessica Rhodes, who is like her gig is a podcast booker. Like she will go out and help you find guests. And she said when people sign up, she has a thing on her form that says, let's just talk about A-list guests. And they both said the same thing. It's not about getting a big guest. It's about getting a guest that's right for your audience. And I was like the whole time I'm in my car, like, amen, amen. It's like, yes, finally. And I think we all kind of heard that. And we saw John Lee Dumas did that. He had these big guests, but again, he had big guests that fit his audience and they had big stories and things like that. And so it's kind of fun to watch like a community learn a lesson together to go, oh, that's, we thought that was going to work. And
this happened to us at Gallup. You know, I have all these strengths coaches and when I have our biggest audience are our biggest strengths coaches. And so when we had Robert Scoble on and I thought he would be gigantic and it was good. Don't get me wrong, but it didn't, you'd think, oh, Scoble's got a gigantic audience. Well, it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, not always. So, yeah. I look up and we got two callers.
Nice.
Ending in 5502, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name? What's your question?
Bob, Bob.
Yeah, see? I guess they can't hear us on the phone.
Hello, this is Jeff Holbrook.
Hey, Jeff.
No, I cannot hear anything you're saying on the phone.
Ah, hello. What a bummer.
Well, go ahead and say your question.
There's about I have a WordPress site for the first time. The problem I've run into is that when I first signed up with HostGator, I set up the URL as daggersofthemind.net in order to have the .net where I already have the .com through GoDaddy. Hmm. Then we started another podcast in the meantime. And so whenever I brought the site up, we changed the URL to holbrooknewmedia.com. Everything is working fine. Everything's happy, except whenever I have the when I look at the stats, it still shows as the homepage just in the stats, daggersofthemind.net. And when I send out an email that is automatically where they subscribe to the posts, at the bottom is a little short URL that then goes back to that. And so I'm getting all kinds of hits on daggersofthemind.net while everything is working just fine as the website being holbrooknewmedia.com.
Okay, so there we can hear how long the audio is. Okay, so I think we got enough. Thank you, Jeff. And I will mute him. Part of the problem, it's not really a huge problem, is when you sign up with HostGator, you tell them, it's almost like your basement. Like, here's what I'm basing my website on. And when you said .net, you can, you know, redirect your GoDaddy domain to the .net. But the bad news is when it gets there, it's going to show .net. Jim, do you know of any magic voodoo to how to, you know, you could add the domain as an, you could add .com as a add-on domain and then point GoDaddy at that, move your .net WordPress to the .com WordPress, and then redirect the .net to the .com.
It's a complicated one. I'd probably have to go back and this is where it'd be nice to ask some questions back on that. But it's, no, I don't know if I've got any advice for him there. There's get a pro.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I would ask HostGator on that. I'm sure. And what I'm trying to find behind the scenes here,
there may be something with the backend DNS as well, right? When you're thinking about the way the internet routes traffic, and so you know when you sign up for a URL, right? When you buy a domain, you get, you know, your domain provider, that's where you get that mywebsite.com account. And then your host provider is going to provide you an IP address, right? And the whole job of the DNS provider is to translate your host name, mywebsite.com, into the IP address of the server where it's at. And so those two have to be connected. And so in your DNS settings, so if you go to your host provider, GoDaddy, I don't like using them, but I'm a Hover guy, so I like Hover. They're a little bit more expensive, but they have a great back end as far as managing your DNS names. You would go into that and you would actually make an A record to send that over to say, so you're going to say, okay, when people come here, they're going to look, it's going to look at this IP address, and that IP address you're going to get from your host provider. And so you just need to make sure those two things are in sync, right? That's the, if you want to make sure that's working, that's going to get your, when people type in your website.com, that's going to make sure it's going to the right server. When you're changing names, if you're going to change, what you're doing is you're taking one DNS and removing it from the server. And this may be what it sounds like might have happened, is that the old URL, the old domain name, has not necessarily been disconnected from the IP address. I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me. I could be totally wrong here. So I would check the DNS records for both those sites, make sure they've got the right numbers and they're doing what you're doing. And then from a stats perspective, just make sure the stats have the right, you got the right URLs in them once you've got that situated. So that would be, if, for me, I would first make sure I'd go to my host provider, I'd go to my DNS provider and make sure that my URLs are pointed to the right server, and then go back and make sure the stats are pointed to the right URLs.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I would probably get involved with HostGator. It doesn't sound like it's 347-850-8007. And here we go, ending in 55. There we go, ending in 5502. Hopefully, you can hear us. You're on with Dave and Jim.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I can hear you. It's John Buchanan.
Beautiful. So I don't know what was going on there, but we're fixed.
Maybe just the caller.
Yeah. So if Jeff wants to call back in, we could always go that route too. How's it going, Mr. John?
Not too bad. The question I have now, as a frugal podcaster,
I'm
a hobbyist, and I'm trying to think of ways to cut back. Are we at the point now? Listen, I'm frugal. I'm not an Android user because we all know they're leeches.
You do know it was
that has to be a t-shirt. That has to be a t-shirt.
I heard that. I forgot to clamor it. I was going to like, oh, there we go. Yeah.
I was going to clamor it, but I figured I would insult Jim, and I didn't want to insult Jim by.
No, that was my saying. I said it right.
He owns it.
Anyway. I mean, it's not licking a donut or anything, but it just, you know, it might be offensive to some people.
Licking a donut?
So anyhow.
Okay.
Oh, that's an Ariana Grande reference.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right.
But getting back to the question, do we really need a website now to podcast? Because when I first started, they said, oh, you have to have a website. I'm thinking to myself, a website. Because to be honest with you, I'm allergic to code. Whenever anybody starts talking about code, my throat swells up. I start getting hives. I can't hear. So I'm really, really bad at all that. But you know, just to be able to start a podcast, you can go to Libsyn now, get a feed, and then basically just use a Facebook if you wanted to you know, advertise your show and put the feed, you know, put the link there,
or Tumblr,
look it up on iTunes.
If you're frugal though, Libsyn is the premier option for us, right? They're the most expensive out of, I mean, there's lots of cheaper options if you're going to go the route of no website and all you need is MP3s that you're going to share, right? I mean, you could use an archive.org to get this done and create that out there and just point people to your posts. So you don't even need Libsyn to be able to get this done. I think if you want to create it that way, you could do it. For sure.
You could go to podcastingforfree.com. Shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are the back end, Dave. RSS, you still have to have an RSS feed. And I see where Libsyn would help from that standpoint. You could still, I mean, we don't recommend it, but you could still use FeedBurner for that. Now it's still working. They haven't cut it off yet. And you could do it that way.
You could, it's interesting because I'm watching them they're starting to make me nervous. Audiometric.io is the free, remember the free media host that gives you an RSS feed that's redirectable and it's iTunes compliant and they'll pay you. They're not paying anybody anymore. I went, oh, and we've reversed. We've gone from forward to, and they say there's lots of things coming in and they have a really cool system where it looks like you can insert ads, but they've just gone kind of silent for about 3 weeks. And I'm like, I noticed I'm stuck at $2.64 in my earnings. And I was like, okay, is this going to be one of those where the free host has figured out? They had one ad. Somebody did actually have an ad for insurance that was playing on my one show. But it was kind of like, all right, well, we'll see here. Because I know when they came on, I'm like, hey, this has been tried before. You know, it's times are different. We'll see. But I think the fun question here is, do you need a website?
Yeah, that's the real question.
And so the answer is, in terms of need, like, can you do it without a website? Yes, you can do it. So no, you don't need a website. You could use Libsyn's website. It all depends on what are you doing. You know, like you said, you're a hobbyist. Okay. So if you're not worried about sending people to Amazon or giving them any kind of link that they can click on, you know, you could, you're not going to have the cool, you know, go to my, you're not going to have schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes because you're not going to have Pretty Link. You know, so it's the little things like that. It's little icings on the cake, that, you can get by. I haven't looked at Libsyn's websites in a while. I know for a while they were pretty butt ugly. I know you can tweak them because I believe if you go to Today in iOS, that is Rob Walsh's site for his podcast, and I think he uses just Libsyn's website. So you can get by without WordPress. That's obviously, you can, you know, there's Tumblr, there's, you could use WordPress. If you found a way to make an iTunes compliant RSS feed, and that's where Jim's like, well, there is FeedBurner. There is, you know, you can use WordPress.org for free, and you can make some pretty nice looking websites for that. And then there's Tumblr.com. You know,
a couple sites I've been using, and let me retract. So like, yeah, if you're using, I was thinking just host providers, right? Yeah. So I was thinking like archive.org, you don't get an RSS feed with them, right? So, although that may be coming, I've been using a service called Shout Engine that gives you an RSS feed, that gives you free hosting, that has not promised the world, which is pretty nice. And, they have a really nice setup. And if you go to shoutengine.com, they say they're in beta, and it looks, acts, feels a lot like a provider. So there's an option there. That's no cost. That's one I just used to help evangelize my site. Libsyn and Blueberry, we should both say, right? Both, yeah, of those, because we've honed in on Libsyn, but both those, yeah, provide website and hosting for a fee.
And a feed. You can get an iTunes compliant feed on Blueberry as well. I forget there was another one. Most of the, you know, Spreaker gives you, you know, a page. If you go to SpreakerLiveShow.com, it'll take you right to their site.
Yeah, you could use RSS feed, although that's, Spreaker's not, yeah, you got to pay to get the, well, that's, you know, true, back into the paid option, but yeah, you could do it that way on Spreaker.
Yeah. But you know, it's cause it is going to save you, I don't know, $10 a month. So,
but like you say, Dave and John, I think the key here is if you use the website for branding, right? It's your site. It's, you control it. You can control what's on it. John, don't you want that kind of control?
Well, I don't think if you're doing a podcast about like a TV show or maybe just a hangout podcast where friends talk about a topic, whatever it is, I don't really think you need to send somebody back to a website for that. I don't think, again, if you're not going to sell something, you're more of a hobbyist, not somebody that, you know, wants to monetize their podcast or just, you know, wants to put it out, you know, do a nice job, but it's the monthly costs that really kill for me the hobbyist podcast. It's not the setup and the equipment as much as it's the monthly costs that you incur as a podcaster.
Right. I know. Yeah. When I first started, and I think it's still around, feedforall.com was a software you could buy that would make an iTunes compliant feed. And I did that for a long time. I built my website in Dreamweaver, and then I would go over and take all that information and put it into Feedforall. And then when I discovered WordPress and the fact that I could update my website and my feed at the same time, it saved me a bunch of time, so I quit using Feedforall. But that could be a way to do that, and then you could throw your feed on Amazon S3 or something like that. That would be, you know, pretty cheap, because even if people are hitting your feed, you only get, it's like what, a penny for a, whatever, a gig of bandwidth or something ridiculously cheap on that.
I'm looking at the chat room right now, and Daniel J. Lewis is saying, boy, that's really complicated. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's complicated for Daniel, then I have no shot at it, to be quite honest with you. And again, like I said, the reason this comes up is because my website's going to renew next year, you know, for the year. So mm-hmm. it's a big hit at all, you know, for a year. You don't pay that by the month.
That's one of the things I like.
So about, I'm thinking myself.
That's one of the things I like about HostGator is they do let you go month to month. Now, it might be a little more expensive per month, depending on how many, you know, you buy in a year, but I think it's $8 a month. Whereas if you go a year, it's like $4, you know, but it is, it's a big hit. I do the same thing with, AWeber. I pay by the year, and man, when that comes through, it's like cha-ching, and I'm like, oh.
I think what Daniel's referring to, it's hard, right? Is John, once you lose your site, you lose any, you really do cut off really any ability to monetize practically, right? Yeah. So if I want to drive people to my Amazon site and I want to use theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, because that doesn't work anymore, right? So how you, and their URLs are impossible. So if you're ever going to send anybody to anything to do any stuff, it gets really hard because you only have audio, right? At that point.
Yeah.
And you don't have a way of making, I mean, I guess you could use Bitly links and some, I mean, there are some creative ways you could probably do this to get people, but you know, it's that website that we say over and over and over that hopefully sticks in people's minds, you know, come out to askthepodcastcoach.com. And then we can put things there to make it easier for them to get places. So John, if you're just going to be a true hobbyist and you're just going to put the stuff out and you don't care about anybody coming back or you don't want to send them any links of any kind or that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess in the Lipson and Blueberry case, you could put a lot of those links in the show notes, so to speak, in right. The feed if people are listening to it. So that would work as well. But then they would have, you would I be mean, dependent now, on going to the show notes.
I'm sorry. Now you can just, you know, on the podcatcher itself, you can tap the link. You don't even have to go to the website anymore.
I can't remember the last time
I went to a website to click a link for the podcast because they're right in the notes of the podcatcher.
Right.
So,
if you're going to use Facebook, because everybody, it seems to me that most of the people that aren't really tech guys that are into podcasting, everybody's usually on Facebook. That's like the norm for non-techie kind of people. And if you can kind of pander to that audience to get them to come over, because they're not going to a website anyhow. So if you're going to promote,
I disagree with that. I know practically it's set. I know it sounds good, but I get tons of hits back from my listeners on the website. I mean, I drive them back to the content I create and some of the things that I do. Now that's my style of podcasting, right? That's just the way I do it. Could you do it that way? You absolutely could. You could provide those things in the show notes. I'm the opposite of you. I can't remember the last time I ever clicked on anything in the show notes on the podcast player because usually I'm driving. When I get to my destination, the last thing I'm thinking about is going to those show notes on my phone to get it done. Not good or bad, just different, right? That's a different experience for me.
Well, there are a lot of people that are finding your podcast by doing a Google search. Mike Dell says that in the chat room. No website, no Google juice. And that's
Lipson's probably putting some SEO out for you through their feed, right? Lipson and Blueberry. I know that's a Mike Dell question. Mike, if I have a feed only through Blueberry, does that feed get me SEO results? Right? That would be key. Because then people, you're right. Because if it doesn't, then Facebook doesn't.
I did have somebody this week say, I saw something you mentioned in an article. And they sent me the link to my FeedBurner, my old FeedBurner feed for the SOP for School of Podcasting. And I was like, I don't know how you found that, but okay. That's, you know, here's the original source. If I really wanted to go free, I would not use Facebook. I'm just not a huge, and that's just my own, Facebook changes stuff way too much. I'd go with WordPress.org. And then because that way, if you ever want to go back, it's an easy transition back to WordPress.com. And, if you want to dance on thin ice and cross your fingers, you could use WordPress.com as the media host, you know, and then just run it through just a little bit. You could run it through FeedBurner.
Oh, John, what's the most expensive? What's the really most expensive part for you right now? The host providing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the other thing is if you want to start another podcast, you pay for 400 minutes, and if you don't use those, they go away. So then if you have a show and you want to start another show, you have to, start a whole new fee. That's another $20 a month, Now I have one podcast that I don't use anymore. So I just knock that back to a $5 because if you don't pay for it, it goes away anyhow.
Right.
And
that's where I go. Do you really need what I affectionately refer to as the big shot smarty pants stats? You know, do I really need to know what people are listening with? Do I really need to know where they're coming from? You know, you can get by for the longest time. had a lot of people using the $15, if not $7, stat package from Libsyn. And of course, and that's where you have to figure out how long is my show going to be and how many times am I going to realistically publish an episode? And then you can figure out, I always go with half a meg a minute for something that's right. 64 mono, and then a meg a minute for things that are stereo. And then you can look at Libsyn and Blueberry or, you know, any other of host that you're interested in and figure out, because in some cases you might go with like the $12 Blueberry. I think there's a $12 value or something like that, where not only down do you get hosting, but you get stats. The Big Shot Smarty Pants stats, I think, on Blueberry.
I feel the Big Pants, the Smarty Pants guys, I think they know that tickle point where you need to be for a half hour weekly
right.
podcast, and they don't give you that. They get so then you're just under that.
Yeah, you're
just over that.
You're always
so now you got to go to the higher one.
Yeah, that's me. I'm never anywhere near for the School of Podcasting. I'm never anywhere near my limit for that.
So. For the inexpensive podcaster, I mean, nobody talks about this except me as an option to do. And I actually do this on some of my stuff, but when you're talking low costs, but not quite like feed burner low kind of deal, like we're worried it's going to go away. You know, I actually, if you're going to create your own site, you're going to use WordPress and WordPress becomes your feed, right? You can, Microsoft has options on Azure to host free WordPress sites. So you can get 10 of them. For free. Now it's shared hosting, so it's not the greatest bandwidth. But John, when you talk about a couple clicks and easy to set up, they have made this setup on Azure super easy to spin up a WordPress site. And you'll get it like it'll be your site.azurewebsites.net. That'll be your URL. But you can always redirect your feed, whatever you want, over there for free. Just send a redirection over to it. Then you have a WordPress site with a feed at that point. And then I'm a big fan of MediaFire. For $50 a year,
yeah.
They'll host all your media for you. I don't want to say unlimited because it's not, but it's 10 terabytes. It's a terabyte of storage and 10 terabytes every single month of bandwidth. It's the best deal going on the web right now.
That's amazing. I mean, it's you're trying to learn to be a podcaster or learn the technology of podcasting. I've never heard of what you just said. It was a lure.
MediaFire. Now, they're slower. Never. And you're not going to get great stats, but
yes, it is slow. Yeah,
but,
it is slow.
But
and
it's
the
workable.
Stats are like how many downloaded, right? But we're talking budget, right? I mean, there are budget ways. John, I should if you want me to walk through that with you at some point, just give me a ring and I can walk you through. It's a super simple setup. Once you've seen it once, you're like, I need to write this up because they talk about it all the time, and I get that response, John. Like you said Azure, I don't even know what that is,
right?
And so, but it's I've got three or four sites out on it, and it works great, and it's easy to set up. And I'm not necessarily a code guy either, John. Yeah. And I set that stuff up pretty easy. So,
and I need to clarify. Thank you, Daniel. I vice versa'd. WordPress.org is your self-hosted. WordPress.com is the free version, which I know, but it's
it's confusing. John, does that help at all?
Yeah, no, it does. And I just figured it was worth a conversation because as people are starting to get into this, they're looking for options. And when I started it back in 2011, I had no idea how to do any of this. And, you know, Cliff Ravenscraft taught me. And at the time, you know, he basically knew that, you know, these people are coming in here. They want to do this. So here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. And that was great to get me started. But now I kind of want to look at other options and maybe tweak the process. And that part of the learning is hard because it's a lot of research. It's a lot of trial and error, mostly error, a lot of trial.
Well, Drop Dead Simple.
That's where we're going.
Check out Shout Engine if you want Drop Dead Simple. Everything you're looking for in a podcaster plus an RSS feed. They don't, it's no cost and you can put as much as you want out there. Now I've been using them for well over a year and I've had very little problems with them, but they're kind of an alternative to this. When we think about it, you'd have to move everything over there and that's kind of a pain. And I'm just kind of saying that for people who are listening too, who might want an alternative option if you're going to get into this thing, but not do any of the infrastructure. One of the things I like about Shout Engine, you have zero infrastructure to set up. You just set up an account. It works and looks just like a podcast platform should. You can put episodes in, you can put show notes in, you can put links in, you can upload your audio to it. It's a pretty good service. ShoutEngine.com. Check it out.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for helping us test that the line.
The phone. We'll have to get. I'll have to log in at 10:15. Then I'll have to have you call me.
Have me call. That's just one of the things we need to knock out and get done pretty early. That's a great. That is a great question that John has. I mean, I think it's just because everybody you come at it different. This is where there's no one size fits all, right? No. Because everybody comes at podcasting a little bit differently.
Well, and then I did an episode once about how you can podcast for free, and I said number one, give up Mountain Dew. I mean, I spend $3 a day on Mountain Dew. That's $90 a month on Mountain Dew. And, you know, if I quit drinking Mountain Dew and drink water, which is free, I got a lot of money for a media host. So I would look at that too. Is there anything in your life that is not giving you the same return that podcasting is? And, cut the cord or, you know, just find cheaper ways to do other things. 'Cause there is that argument that, you know, every hobby has a fee, but it is tough, man. I mean, I've been there. I've been the guy standing in front of the vending machine going, can I afford the $1.50 today? You know, or should I save it for gas money? I've been there, done that. So it's tough. Daniel says he's had horrible luck with MediaFire for my long-term storage.
Yeah, he's using it more like a cold storage location, putting stuff out there. And I have to be really careful. I don't use it for anything but podcasting. I put one file at a time because they have some limits of moving, like in their desktop connector isn't the greatest. And if you are taking a whole bunch of files and moving them all at once or trying to get them, you know, their service, they're doing this pretty low cost, so the bandwidth's not great. I'm not recommending using them as cold storage, right? It sounds great to have all that space. My recommendation for them is on podcasting, right? If you're going to host your files out there, I host my media files or my video files out there. Done it for well over a year, and it's phenomenal. No problems, no complaints. It works. It's $50 a year. And those files are gigantic, right? Yeah. And I have rollover bandwidth over there. So I totally hear Daniel's point, but I don't recommend them. This, my recommendation is not to put all your files out there. There's other places to do that, like CrashPlan, that are a lot better than MediaFire for that kind of stuff. But for podcasting, I love it.
Yeah. I've been using them for, if I have somebody, it asks me a question at the School of Podcasting. In some cases, if I don't have a tutorial, I will make a quick video and I will upload it to MediaFire and then send them the link. The thing that I guess I don't really worry about is there's no way without paying for it to turn off the share option when you send somebody a link. So I could send somebody an answer and they could then forward it to their friend, which I'm not really that worried about.
Yeah, it's not really designed for that. Yeah. It's not one of those highly secure.
And then the other link I can send them will immediately download the video. And I'm like, no, I kind of want them to watch it online because sometimes whoever I'm sending it to may get freaked out if all of a sudden things start downloading. And you never know what's going to happen. But thanks.
Well, I should clarify. I mentioned Shout Engine really quick. Unlimited storage, 10 gig bandwidth for the free version of it. So probably wouldn't get you too far if you're starting. The $10 a month plan bumps that up. So they get a little stingy on bandwidth. So if you're checking out Shout Engine, now I just use it as an evangelism site, right? So I don't get very many downloads out there, but maybe not as I start looking at their pricing plans, probably not practical when you think about bandwidth.
Well, I just got a lovely surprise. I switched the front end of the School of Podcasting over to WP Engine and didn't really read the fine print. And of course, this is one of those, you know, it's hosting designed for WordPress, super fast, yada, yada, yada. Okay, great. I move it. Okay, where do I create my email? No email. No, no email. No. Okay. We recommend Google Apps for Work. Okay. $5 an email per month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. Then they only give me, I think it's 20,000 visitors a month, which I thought, there's no way. I don't think I'm anywhere near that. Well, guess what? I'm wrong. And so now they're going to charge me $1 for every 1,000 visitors over 25,000, which by the time this is over, I'm probably going to be around $40-$50 a month for hosting. And I'm like, so then I look over, guess who's rolling out WordPress hosting? HostGator, the people I just left. And I'm like, and it's like $30 a month with email addresses and all these other bells and whistles. And I'm like, I might end up just moving because I like HostGator. They've always been good to me. GoDaddy also has a plan right now. I think it's $15 a month for dedicated WordPress hosting. And I'm not sure, but
Dave, you should check out Maple Grove Partners. $10 a month. I mean, Christian is doing this. It's a really small operation, but he's charging $10 a month. You'll get all the stuff that you need. You get great bandwidth. You get great support. Your stuff's in a container. Check it out. Let's talk about it because it's a pretty good deal, and it's like a project, right? I mean, this is a student at the University of Maryland who has his own web farm that he's doing hosting through, and it's pretty good. The AverageGuy.tv is completely hosted on it.
Yeah, because
I got great access to him.
Well, that's the other thing I found out about WP Engine. Their support is phenomenal. They will do things that I couldn't get HostGator, depending on who you got on the chat, to do it. They were jumping into my – I'm like, can you just go into my PHP and like whack that table for me? And they're like, sure. But it's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And after that, you're kind of like, here's the help. And I was like, oh, no 24/7 support. And I went, So we – but yeah, so I will probably be moving again. We'll see. Once I get my first bill, I'll probably – you know, once I pick myself off the floor –
yeah, moving's not too hard. I mean, it is when you don't have great support.
Right. So,
moving's pretty easy.
But, hey, if you have a question, of course, you can, once you unmute the thing there we go. You can call in. It's 347-850-8007 as we head into, the fourth quarter of the podcast here. And, Jim, where you want to go?
Well, I got a suggestion for you.
Okay.
How's that sound for you? So, and we'll turn this into kind of a question.
Okay.
So when you title your show, right, and you're episodic, but the content is very date sensitive, like it is here. So we start, when we talk about Ask the Podcast Coach, you always say, this is Ask the Podcast Coach 4, and then you say the date, right? That way I'm listening to it. Mm. Do you think, when you do Clamor, the Clamor Cast, which I'm just digging, by the way, if you haven't caught Clamor, the Clamor Cast, harder to say than it is to right. to promote. But if you haven't checked that out, go out there, clamorcast.com, no E, C-L-A-M-M-R, cast, C-A-S-T.com. You'll want to have a listen to that. But Dave, you're doing that episodically. And I think as a podcast coach, I would recommend you move that to a date driven, because whenever I listen, if I pick that up and listen to it, there's never a mention of a date, and this goes stale very, very quickly. How do you feel about that recommendation?
Not a bad idea. Yeah. So I could say, you know, Clamorcast for the top 20 countdown for, and then the date.
Yeah. Throw in the date as of.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, I like that idea. That is such an interesting show because I get a list from the guys from Clamor, and, you know, I've got it down now to where I can get, I end up with a PDF in about 4 minutes with clickable links. And the thing I love about it, if I do this in Clamor, I think they changed it now to where when I listen to a Clamor online, at the end of it, they are putting in the whoosh, where I used to have to put that in manually. So now I just click it and the Clamor comes out and whoosh, and I can start talking about the next one. And so it's interesting because a couple weeks back, there were just like one guy had a Clamor about like Washington, D.C., when there was all the trouble over there, just stuff that wasn't really anything I could poke fun at or have fun with. But the last episode was hilarious. So it's always fun seeing what I get to work with. And it is an interesting little experiment. And then the other fun thing is they're actually much better at it than they used to be. But sometimes, especially like this last week where Clamor got clamored basically by Apple, then they're trying to get, you know, they had a fix for their software almost instantly, but then that has to get approved by Apple. And so they're going through all this stuff and they're, you know, tech support went through the roof because everybody's saying, hey, it's broken. So they were a little late getting me the little list. So that's the other thing that's kind of weird. It's like, okay, as long as I get that on Thursday, it'll be out on Monday. So yeah, so it's that's, I like that suggestion. I'll start doing that.
No, it's one of those things when we talk about formatting. I think that do you emphasize your show number, or do you emphasize the date, or do you do both? Because we all know listeners get stuff in their back catalogs, right? They get stuff loaded up on their And they could look at the date, but I, honestly, when I'm listening to stuff, I'm not really checking. Going back to John's question, I never read the show notes on my mobile device for a podcast. I just don't do it. I'm not trained to do it. That doesn't mean nobody does it. Apparently, John does, and that's the way that he goes about it. But when you think about, all right, somebody's got 15 of these or whatever, and they're listening to them audibly, or what's even more important, when they show up on TuneIn Radio or TuneIn, or when they show up on, you know, now with the Amazon Echo and its ability to play a bunch of stuff, I think, you know, we're going to get podcast options eventually through Spotify, I think, and we're going to get some of those through Deezer. Those people are listening to that. And is it important to have the date early in your intro so people know how fresh the content is?
Yeah. Massa has a great question. He's asking about what's the difference between web hosting and WordPress hosting. And there is different levels. You have shared hosting, which is the one that's usually like somewhere between $4 and $8 a month. And then if we go up kind of one level, WordPress, what would the verbiage be? WordPress blah, blah, blah hosting. It's basically web hosting geared for WordPress. So they have extra security because everybody loves to try to hack your WordPress login. It's just geared for whatever the specialty is that WordPress uses. That's, I'm seeing anywhere from $4 a month, again, over at GoDaddy, but you get a really, really small package, up to $29. I think I'm paying $39 for WP Engine, something like that, which in theory is supposed to be faster. Now, above that, then you get into VPS, which is a virtual private server. Then you actually go to a private server. So do I need WordPress hosting? No. I was on a shared hosting for many, many moons. In fact, a lot of my websites are still on shared hosting. Now, does it make – now, in theory, right, Google will give you a better Google juice if your website is faster, or so we hear. So in theory, a faster website would be more – possibly more traffic. There's a lot of possibly maybe coulda, shoulda, woulda stuff here. So if you got it in the budget, I would do it. But, you know, right now, most of my stuff is on shared stuff. So – and the other thing, I like Bluehost. Bluehost is one thing that as a ex-customer service rep, I go, really? Number one, Bluehost and HostGator are owned by the exact same people. They own a couple different web hosting companies. And Bluehost makes you buy a year in advance. You cannot go month to month. That's why I recommend HostGator, because some people are like, not really sure if I'm going to do this a long term. All right, let's go with HostGator. And of course, use the coupon code PodcastCoach to get 25% off at HostGator. But, see, Mike says DreamHost. I had bad experiences with DreamHost. And everybody, you can always find somebody that will say I had a bad experience with HostGator. You know, somebody says a bad experience with Bluehost. There's always going to be somebody that wanted them to do something that they wouldn't do. And, The interesting thing about Bluehost, because I like both Bluehost and HostGator, have 24/7 support, and they have a chat system. When the chat system comes up in Bluehost, it'll say, like, you have 7 minutes, you're in line. And when it comes up, it actually says, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, you're on with, you know, Jim or whatever the chat guy is, blah, blah, blah. Please note, I'm also doing other chat windows, so your patience is appreciated. I'm like going, hey, thanks to getting to the front of the line, but you still don't really have my undivided attention. And I was like, really? That makes me feel so special when I know that you can't give me your full undivided attention. So where HostGator does not. Now, that might be true at HostGator. It probably is. But I just thought it was weird that it's like, well, there's honesty for you. But I thought it was kind of odd. But that's why I recommend HostGator over Bluehost. DreamHost, now, they may have changed. But for a while, and this is one of those where sometimes you have to go back and re-examine your facts. In like 2007, 2008, they were at NMX, and they were all about, we're just like you, you know, all shucks. We understand you guys, and we're cool. And they had things like about, you know, come and party with the DreamHost guys. And it was all about just, we're cool and crazy guys in the basement running the company. I don't want cool, crazy drinking dudes running my website. It was a really weird branding thing that then I was kind of like, and then their back end at the time was like nobody else's. They had made a custom cPanel that was not user friendly, in my opinion. And, then I had three people who signed up for DreamHost because unlimited bandwidth, baby. No, we'll host your podcast. Go everything. We're the cool guys in the basement. Come on. And then they got kicked off when they got popular. So I just kind of stuck away from DreamHost for, but, I know they're, they seem to have changed their image a bit. So maybe I'll have to go back and
that's like with any service, right? Yeah. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to have a bad experience. You know, we were talking about MediaFire just a few minutes ago, and I love it. Daniel doesn't love it right now. We are using it for different things, right? We're coming at it from different approaches. And so this is really where, you know, we make recommendations. You've got to do some homework on some of this stuff as well and dig right in. We always talk about, Addy just put a link in the chat to podcastwebsites.com, which looks like,
yeah,
like a the promises. This goes back to what John said a few minutes ago. I don't want to do any code. I'm not a code guy, right? And so we have these services that promote this. I don't care what you do to make it simple. At some point, it gets complicated because you get in and you're like, oh, well, I don't like my header right there. And you're like, well, the template, right? Because options equal confusion. And so the less options you have, the less, you know, the more options you have, the more confusing it is. So if you're going to remove the code options, you're not going to get very many. It's not going to look the way you want it to look. And so people are like, then you're like, oh, well, you got to go code that. And it's like, and so no, if you're going to be in this gig for a while, you have to realize at some point you need to dig in and learn just a little bit, right? Yeah. You gotta know. And the more you know, the more powerful it becomes when we come to the code. I'm always a little skeptical. I look at this podcastwebsites.com.
Well,
the promises, it's got John Lee Dumas written all over it.
See, when I see this, it reminds me, I don't know if we were talking about this on or off air. I know we're talking about it off air. There's a thing on Netflix right now about people, men that shaped the America. And it talks about Vanderbilt and John D. Rockefeller. And when I see this, I'm like, John Lee Dumas is an entrepreneur. Duh. I know it's kind of a dumb statement. But he looks at podcasting and goes, great. Now, what do they need? Because John D. Rockefeller had kerosene, and when electricity came about, he's like, okay, now I got a bunch of kerosene that nobody needs. Oh, there's a byproduct of this kerosene stuff called gasoline. Okay. And then he went out and found somebody who needed gasoline. So John is like, got his podcaster's paradise for thousands of dollars and things like that. But he's also like, he's taking all those questions about, well, and the pain of his audience, which is WordPress and web hosting. And he's like, okay, everybody seems to be a little stuck here. And the guy he's got with that, I talked to at Newbie Expo, the guy's awesome. And so they have podcastwebsites.com that is supposed to be cookie cutter, you know, ready to go kind of stuff. I'll be interested to see if John ever gets into the hosting business. Because if you can then come up with the service, everybody knows, likes and trusts you. You know, why not start selling hosting and websites and microphones? And, you know, there's all sorts of things that people need when you start a podcast. And I just thought it was interesting that when I see that come out, I'll be interested to kick the tires on that. It's a little bit like Appendipity. Appendipity has the podcast themes that are geared towards podcasters. But I was like, all right, well, that's an interesting thought. I kind of kicked myself and go, I should have done that. Doggone it.
There you go. You still could. Maybe you could do it better than they're doing it. You know, it's just as this gets popular and these key turn is never. I always find when I'm working with people who want simple, right? And I get this, and I know why. And John, I'm not picking on you out there. You just called us, so it's easy because I'm referring to you. But it seems like whenever I'll make a suggestion for something simple. It always finds, no matter who I'm working with, the user always finds the corner of the solution that is not available to them because it's simple, right? I don't know why that is. It's like bugs being attracted to the light. It seems like users are always attracted to those things they can't have in some of those turnkey solutions. Squarespace is a perfect example of that. Every Squarespace customer I've ever tried to help comes to me, because for a while I was doing a lot of talking about Squarespace and they would be like, well, Jim, you said it was easy, drag and drop, blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to do, oh yeah, no. That's not, that one functionality is not available in the template. You're going to have to use a little bit of CSS to go in there to make that, you know, to make the, oh, so I'm always just, you know, there are solutions. There are, you know, in WordPress, there are themes that are easier to set up than others. And I get that. The easier the theme is to set up for you, the most likely you are to run into something where you want to do something and you can't because it's not available in the feed. The easier it is, the less options you have. That's just the way it goes. So, I think if you're going to go turnkey and make it easy, you're pretty much going to take what they give you, right?
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah. And I use a Mesocollins theme that I use to make my site look different than everybody else's WordPress site. And it's got it's got like 6 pages of options that I can change in there. And it took me a couple hours to figure them all out, right? But it gives me a lot of power. So that's one of those things. If you want easy, just going to take what you get in most cases.
Somebody asked the other day about, I want to start a podcast where I do live calls, but I don't want to use Blog Talk Radio. So I said, well, first things first, it's not out yet. But, you know, Blog Talk Radio has a pretty cool interface. It's going to be 128 stereo. Probably, I would think, by the end of the summer, especially now that you could have your guests call in and everything's direct. I'm like, depending on what – I don't think they're going to be changing their pricing, but it's really, really easy, I said. Now, you're going to be paying for things that you're not going to be using, I said. But I said the alternative is go to callinstudio.com. It's like, you know, you'll end up paying maybe $10 a month for your calls. I said, but that's all it does is the call. So you'll need something to stream. So now you got to do Mixlr. And there's, what is Mixlr now? $12 a month? I forget what it is. I know there's a free plan, but it's only for X amount. It's been a while. Or then you go Spreaker, and I love Spreaker, but, you know, there's another, you know, $20 a month. And now you've got to do a Mix Minus and all the other stuff. And I said, so you're kind of paying, there's easy and expensive, or less expensive and a little more technical. I'm like, it's, you know, depends on what you want to do.
Yeah. So Mixlr is 10 free 10 and 20. So those are monthly plans. $10 a month gets you, what do you get more? You can disable the chat and then some, you only get an hour on the free plan, right, on the Mixlr free plan. And then $20 a month, you get 3 hours on the one up, and then $20 a month. And then Spreaker, you know, Rob alluded to a little bit that Spreaker is thinking about having some call. Was that when you were on there with them? Did you guys talk about that? I binge listened, so they all were together.
Yeah, he talked to somebody about it, and it sounds like they're headed that direction. But that's a huge project, especially if you're going to do it right.
That's why there's not a lot of services out there.
Right, exactly. Right?
Because it's not particularly easy.
Mike Phillips asked, has anyone heard of Ben Kruger as a podcast consultant? Ben is a nice guy. He did Authority Engine. If you go to authorityengine.com, he's the guy that he will do your show notes. He will edit your podcast, edit out ums and you-knows. If you throw in a Dropbox and Ben will take it from you and update your website. I think if you do 4 episodes a month, it's somewhere between $400 and $600 a month. And he's more geared towards businesses. He's also Small Business Podcasting, helpmeaddy.com. But now he just changed his name again to Cashflow, he said, checking his phone. Super nice guy, lives all over the planet. I think now he's in Colorado. He was in like Sing Sing or – wait, that's a jail.
Singapore. Yeah, Singapore.
Yeah.
I think Sing Sing's a jail in California.
yeah, Cashflow Podcasting is his latest iteration of that. Super nice guy, and he's got a marketing background, but he's seeing it as a niche. He's going after businesses that want to position themselves as an authority. And he's a nice guy from what Addie says I've heard of him, being that she works for him.
Quick tip on the way out. As we kind of bring things in. So I'm going to post this in chat, and Dave will post it to the show notes as well. But if you are if you've ever been on Facebook and you grabbed your link from your website, if you have one, and you know how it always tries to bring in an image, and it brings in the image you don't want.
Always,
right?
Yes.
And once you've given that feed, what happens behind the scenes on Facebook is they actually cache that. They have a whole set of servers that just cache URLs that you put in, so that the next time someone references it, they just got it and they can pull it up right for you. And it's a lot faster that way to do that. But unfortunately, in my case, sometimes I didn't put the right graphic in the right place, or it's not, I didn't put it in at all, and it's grabbing the wrong one. Or, you know. Anyways, there's a link out there, and I'd read it to you, but it's super long, and so check on the show notes for it. It basically starts with developers.facebook.com/tools. Okay, so if you head out there, they have a debugging tool. You can just Google Facebook developers debugging tool if you want to get that. They have a tool that you can go out there and you can put your URL in and see exactly what Facebook is bringing in. It's a great tool. Very, very powerful. When we talk about code, this is one of those kinds of things. If you're not good with code, this may not make any sense to you, but there's a lot of stuff, a lot of information to get back. The most important and most powerful feature in this is you can force it to recache. So if you've cached it and you got the wrong looking thing, you know, you've done that before, Dave, right? Yeah. Then you put the URL in again, you get the exact same result, and you're like, I changed it on my site. Why is it not changing? It's not changing because it's cached. This site will help you reset the cache. And then you can, before you even repost the link, you can see exactly what Facebook is going to give you. Then you can post it on Facebook. So very powerful tool. It's one I forget about from time to time, but because we post our stuff in Facebook so much, might be one of those tools you just want to kind of keep in your browser, bookmarks so that you have it in the future. Google developer or Facebook developer tools, debug, some of those kinds of things, and that should come up for you. Check the show notes. Dave will have it in there.
And then the other thing we should probably mention on our way out the door here is you were working on validatemyfeed.com.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, we were having a lot of discussions about feed validation. And I thought, gosh, this is way harder than it needs to be. And all these sites have, they're crazy named, right? It's like, so you can Google validatemyfeed.com. And I thought, you know, would it be great if we just had one place you could go that had all the options that we recommend on it?
Right.
So that day on the show, I checked and bought validatemyfeed.com. So if you go out there right now, I only have two or three options available. But if you want to help me feed that with the feed validation tools you use or anything like that, I'm just kind of creating it as an aggregator site to come back if people want to see all the various options. And I would even take, I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to feed validation. If anybody wants to contribute to that about why it's important or some tips or tricks, or if you want to help me publish something in there, I would be more than happy to let you publish there for backlinks and some of those other kinds of things. So just let me know. You can reach me, jim@theaverageguy.tv, if you want to help me contribute, or you've got suggestions. Daniel already gave me one to put in. And Daniel, did you recommend that link that you put in there? So just want to make sure you guys recommend it. This is going to be a crowdsourced site for feed validation. Just one of those things that's easy to remember, validatemyfeed.com.
There you go. And an easy to remember URL. That always helps.
I think so.
So, yeah. And Addie was asking in the chat room, where did I get my t-shirt? This is a Libsyn t-shirt. It's pound or hashtag podcaster and then Libsyn.com. So I should have worn, I think it's dirty. Today at 2:00, Craig in the chat room will be on the podcast review show. And Craig sent me a t-shirt and I should be wearing his t-shirt, but I believe it's in the hamper. Because I do wear it. It's a nice t-shirt. Cool. Wait a minute. We have more t-shirt news. Onespodcast.com/shirts. Maybe that'll be another discussion. Maybe that might be the post show. Maybe we'll talk a little swag today. Oh, look at that. Daniel, you do good work, my friend. I used to be a graphic artist guy. I had a little thing. Schoolofpodcasting.com/teespring. If I remember right, and not Daniel's designs. I did. That's one of the things that confuses me about Teespring. You have like a limited time to buy the shirt. I'm like, what if you want it available all the time? It's like, that's kind of goofy. So, but as always, use the coupon code ASK20 at theschoolofpodcasting.com when you sign up. If you sign up, if you want to start a podcast, if you don't have a website yet, we're talking about that today. Send me an email, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com with the phrase quick start. And you can order your web hosting through me. I'll earn a commission, and then I'll set up WordPress for you on your website, plus give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. Jim, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
We're out the door. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.